I've spoke about this in the past, and also this weekend as well, as it reared its ugly head again. Rotherham United playing Millwall at New York Stadium on Saturday. 2-1 victory for Rotherham, but violence broke out as the Millwall fans and Rotherham fans clashed, and a lady steward was hit by a brick during this game. Now, it kind of got to that situation again where we're all having to review what goes on at games and making sure that, well, things got to be safe for spectators, for stewards and everyone else. Violence, racism and many other things are rearing their ugly head at the game. So I want to speak to somebody who, you know, has been at the sharp end of football grounds before. Dougie Brimson, the writer of multi-award winning features Green Street. You must have seen that movie Top Dog as well. Afternoon, Dougie. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So, obviously, you've heard about all these stories. You've heard about what's been going on with the Chelsea fans recently as well, and yet another report of alleged racism that's coming out from Chelsea fans. We've seen videos all over social media, and you must have seen some of the ones that have popped out with some of the anti-Semitic comments that have been going around, the racist comments from say, Chelsea fans, the very famous one from France, obviously. And now this, which is happening in stadiums in the White Rose County. How do you think police and stewards can really start to crack down on what is happening on the stands and in the terraces?
Well, to be fair, I think they already have. I mean, let's be honest. If you look back, and it's easy to look back, I know that, but if you look back to what it was like in the 80s and even into the early 90s, it was horrific. And we've come a long way since those awful days. And the fact that incidents like this, which are relatively minor, you're talking, certainly involving the Chelsea ones in France, you're looking at four or five people. The fact that it's getting such huge coverage is really testimony to how rare they are.
Do you think the minority are kind of spoiling it for the majority? Because these minority stories kind of end up blowing up into something which maybe could be a little bit less, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is that football's an easy target, primarily because there's no one ever to defend it. You know, racism is appalling, it's an abhorrent thing. But if you stand up and kind of say, well, hang on, I mean, I'm a Watford fan. We never ever see racism or homophobia at Watford. You just don't do it. And so, but you can't stand up and say, well, we don't ever see it, because you're almost in denial that it exists. We know it exists, but it exists in all areas of society. Football is an easy target because it fills headlines. And we should be looking at how far football has come, how much football has done, how much football continues to do on a daily basis. I mean, football drove the anti-racism message in the 80s and 90s. It continues to do so. It drives the homophobia message, I think, further and further into English society. And we should be applauding that, not concentrating on the minor incidents involving a few morons. You get morons everywhere.
I think you're right. I think this is something that a lot of people haven't really seen, because obviously as soon as, you know, something leaks like this or the footage comes out that we all see on Twitter, and I think that's the big thing now, isn't it? Because it's so instant to capture this footage and upload it within seconds to social media, and then it goes viral and then it becomes the big story. You know, it is easy to ignore the fact that there's been a lot of work done already.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, over a million people went to watch football live on Saturday. And the actions of a few mindless idiots are what's dominating the back page. And that's quite sad, because it does taint everybody else. You know, and the problem is for football fans generally that the people and organisations that are supposed to be there to protect our rights, to fight for our stance as law-abiding football fans, are completely inept. And so we're at the mercy of the media, we're at the mercy of morons like Stan Collymore, who just batter endlessly about the issue of football's racist, football's, you know, football's this, football's that. He's battering on about sectarianism in Scotland, and there's no one to defend them, because as soon as you defend something like racism, the accusation comes back. Well, you would say that because you're a racist. And the accusation of being racist is impossible to defend. Because as soon as you start going down that road of saying, but in my instance, my co-writer is a black guy of West Indian descent. As soon as you say that, then you're opening yourself up to accusations of, oh, yeah, well, so he's got one black mate, that makes him not a racist. So you can't win. Because the racism accusation is the anti-racist H-bomb. and they use it to keep the anti-racism gravy train flying. And it is flying.
Yeah, it seems to have taken over quite a lot recently, doesn't it? As you said, like, the whole thing seems to be flying again. Now, I'm just thinking about how people are using social media these days, because obviously that does fuel a lot of the fire, doesn't it, with a lot of people really sending these incendiary messages via Twitter, via Facebook, and when they share these videos. Is there a way, do you think, now, and I know from Leeds United, they've got a text number which you can text if you're in the stands, that goes straight to the control room and tells them that somebody is maybe, say, making racist or homophobic remarks, or they're, you know, inciting some form of violence with the opposition fans. Is it time now that football fans in the ground, because we've all got it, and even some grounds have Wi-Fi these days, that we can use social media not just to highlight this, but also combat it as well?
I think it already happens at a lot of grounds. I think I've certainly been in situations where people have been behaving in ways that they shouldn't be behaving, where they've been reported to the stewards, or the police. The issue is that if you're going to stand up and be counted, because that's what you've got to do, you know, if you're standing on a football terrace and someone's doing something and you want to report them, you're sticking your head above the parapet. Now, if you're prepared to do that, you can only do it if you're secure enough in the knowledge that action is going to be taken, it's going to be taken immediately. Because if you've got some, you know, half-wit mouthing off, but you report and nothing's done about him, he's not going to be pleased about you. He's not going to be pleased with you. So you've got to face that. And potentially you've got to face that every week for the rest of the season. And so as long as we've got faith that this is going to get backed up with actions, then I think more and more people are happy to report. And society's moved on to the point where we're happy to report it. The issue of phone videos in particular, what the big problem there is, news organisations will pay money for videos like that. So, and most people are aware of that. So if you've got a video which is quite incendiary and quite offensive, quite newsworthy, all you've got to do is ring up Sky News and they're going to offer you money for it because you've got an exclusive. And so, people are so savvy now, they're well aware of that. That's one of the problems you've got.
It's all very reminiscent of that movie Nightcrawler recently, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's what it is, you know. I mean, people drive around with dash cams, you know, almost hoping for crashes because they know it's a big, you know, there's money to be made, there's big things, you know. It's not just about protection, it's about potential.
And one final point on this, because obviously there was the situation, as we've mentioned, which happened at the New York Stadium, and there was a female steward who was assaulted with a brick. And, you know, we've heard stories in the past about things getting into football grounds. I think the craziest one that I heard, I was talking to one of the guys here, and we said it's difficult enough to even sneak an extra pack of crisps in the ground some places. But there was a live chicken that was brought into the ground at Blackburn Rovers, and now we're seeing this brick, which was used as a weapon to assault someone there. How can security be improved now? Is there a way that things can change with fans getting into the ground with things like that?
Well, the worst thing I've ever heard was years ago in Italy, someone smuggled a scooter into a ground.
What?
And that was thrown off an upper tier into some rival fans. And there was also a case of someone at the West Ham fan at Newcastle threw a Molotov cocktail inside the ground. Years ago, there was a live hand grenade thrown inside the ground, by Millwall fans, funnily enough. What do you do? Do we search everyone on the way in? Do we make every ground like a fortress? You know, I think the answer to all of these problems, and I've always argued this, is peer pressure. If you've got, you know, the vast majority of decent football fans, if you are empowered to turn around and say to people, that's unacceptable, we don't want that anymore, we don't want this kind of behaviour anymore, which is largely what the Tartan Army did who followed Scotland, it's what the support who followed the English national side did and has done with great success. As long as you empower football fans, then really that's the only way you're going to solve all these issues, because let's face it, we've been trying long and hard to resolve the problem of violence inside grounds, violence outside grounds, aggressive chanting, abusive chanting, racist chanting, and we're not, you know, the fact we're still talking about it now shows we haven't actually resolved it after all.
Yeah,
but there is also the argument of the issue of banter, the issue of, you know, why we go to football, to let off steam and all those sort of things. So there is a balance to be struck.
Yeah, it does seem that, you know, as you said, that there's so much work being done, but it just keeps rearing its ugly head just a little bit, doesn't it? Dougie, thank you very much for coming on today. Really appreciate this.
You're very welcome.
Just get in touch with your Twitter as well. You're at Dougie Brimson, is that correct?
I am indeed.
And what's the future hold for you? What's going on apart from the game tonight?
I'm working on another novel, and I'm waiting for a decision on another film. In fact, on two other films, which is driving me nuts because I'm always seems to be waiting for people. But just keeping busy, really.
Fantastic, Dougie. Thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy your game tonight.